listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
See, when I'm low in digits, I push blow in the blizzard. I'm a player for real. I post and pivot, coke distribute. Be where the ghost is visit, where the demons live. Shit, my scene is vivid. Squeamish kids, y'all get the fuck out of this verse. It's about to get so obscene in a minute. I seen and live it. I did some things, I admit it. Wasn't proud of it, but I was a child. Fuck it. Kept a pal tucked in my brown belt. Couldn't sit down. Big gun kept sticking me in my pelvis. Shit, it was either that or be living with Elvis. Niggas is jealous, hell is hot, you heard X? Wanna tell God that I don't deserve this? Was afraid he'd tell me I deserve less. My life was nervous, you haven't heard stress till you heard the cries my mama giving me drama. Told her I ain't promised tomorrow, gotta live for the day. And before she could say, Jake! Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
I was out the door. Ready to do some podcasting on a Tuesday. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, search the Black Guy Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. Appreciate everybody takes time out to do that. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And it's time to get into some podcasting.
It is. I have, I want to say something first. It's nothing big. I got some, I'll get you kind of random thoughts.
Go ahead.
The first one I want to say is shout out to Roger. Roger got me some toboggans that are, got silk lining in the inside. And I'm happy because I'm old and black, y'all. And my head be cold. I'm cold, period. But my head be cold. So I've been falling in love with like toboggans, and I got like toboggans with like Deadpool. I'm sorry, Deadpool. And I got one of like the mushrooms and Mario Brothers. And so I've been really liking the different types of toboggans. So I've been going out looking for variations of kind of toboggans. And so because most of them are like cotton, and because most black people hair, cotton will pluck the hell out of it. I know women out there know what I mean. You'll fuck around and talking about edges snatch. No, your edges will be in your toboggan. Cause it will tear the hell out of your edges. So right. What I've been doing is like, I've been wearing like a little silk cap over my head. It's a similar cap that some women wear when they
put, like a stocking cap.
Yeah, like a stocking cap, but it's designed like that. Some women wear it, before they put on wigs, and stuff like that. So I've been wearing that to kind of protect my hair. And so I was really excited about this. So now I can wear this and just put it straight on my head and kind of, because you're almost like double layering it. Mm-hmm. And also something I realized, when I say toboggan, I realize a lot of people don't know what a toboggan is. You know, I'm from the South, and I'm talking to people online, I realize some people call a toboggan a sled.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And me either. And the reason why I know that, because every time I talk about a toboggan, somebody always say, what is that? I had to go look that up. I thought it was, and see, when they say sled, I'm thinking like a sled you slide on.
Me too.
So I'm like, what? No, I'm not wearing nothing you slide on. But I guess what I realize, depending on what region of the country you're from, would depend on what you call it. But when I say toboggan, I'm talking about like something to go on your head. Mm-hmm. And you know, my family old and black, so a lot of times a cap, a hat, or everything, they mix it all together. It's all a toboggan. You know, we talk to old black people. But that's something that I learned on the internet. But yes, I actually absolutely positively love that I can put this on and I don't have to kind of double layer. You know, the older I've been getting into scarves too. So I've been really loving to wrap myself up in scarves and shit like that. And that's new for me, because I hate the wintertime, so I like to be warm. But you know, the older I get, the more I'm like, hey, you actually need to protect yourself, because all your heat goes out through your head. You know, prevent me from getting cold, from sick. Prevent me from getting sick.
I think so I'm looking at June in the chat. I think they saying a toboggan is a sled.
Oh,
like a type of sled. They call them toboggans up there, I guess.
Oh, so toboggan is a type of sled. This
is the first time I've ever heard that it was interchangeable, but I'm thinking that's for the sled, not for the thing that goes on your head.
Okay.
Yeah,
because they be like sled. I be like, what you mean sled?
Yeah, some people call them like winter hats and shit like that. I you know, when I go looking for them on Amazon and stuff, they have different names. But the one I got you, shout out to Facebook. Shout out to
Facebook. Heard me talking.
No. Shout out to Facebook and their targeted advertising. You know, I was looking for It knows that I'm black from all my shopping habits and everywhere that Facebook follows me on the internet. They're like, oh, this dude must be black. And then they know that I buy hats and stuff, and mm-hmm. they must know that I'm married. And it suggested in an ad those hats, and it's from a black woman who makes it, I believe. There were two. It was a special where you buy one, get one free.
Oh.
So I was like, why not, you know, like, let me go get these. I was like, I know you tired of wrapping your hair up, just, you know, and then putting a toboggan over, then when we go out, and then you can't really take it off because then you got the thing underneath,
right,
you know. And and then also, like, it's when you have it that way, you can't really make a look out of it. Like, you can't really put any of your hair out. Mm-mm. Because it might get yanked by the cotton or something,
right?
So I was like, oh, this, I, you know, it makes sense that this would exist, but it also makes sense that I would have never heard of it. But like a toboggan with a silk lining inside so it doesn't pull black women's hair, or people with 4C hair or whatever, that's a great idea. So that's why I got it.
And you know why? Because black women know black women. And right. So nobody else would have fucking even thought about this but a goddamn black woman.
Yeah, you probably could make a killing if somebody just sold these out of like a black beauty salon or Sally's or what? Whatever, you know.
Yes, because I like this, because I've been tinkling with it, and like you say, you don't have to cover your hair up, so I kind of pulled my hair out in the front and
right.
let it be free. And it's actually, you got me a medium size, and it actually has a lot of space. So for right. those of you that have dreads,
you can get like, large, you can get small,
right, or big fro, you can kind of, it's big enough, it's like I said, made for black people, because you know most white people's hair is kind of flat, so you don't need the volume, particularly if you're natural hair.
I know people about to ask me where I got it from. I swear this is not an ad. I didn't know Cam was going to talk about this.
Oh,
but I will see if I can find it in the background while she's talking.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I wanted to talk about it, because I was just excited about getting it, and I got it on my head now. So I was like, yes. Ah, yeah, you have made me a happy camper.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. That's the reason I got it. And, you know, try to add stuff to the house, you know.
Yeah, and not to get off topic, but lately I've been trying to get really, really organized in 2019. So I bought little things to help the house organize. How do you like the things that I've been purchasing to help organize?
Oh, I love them. I mean, it was a kind of a thing that I was doing last year.
Yeah.
You know, buying stuff that helps out around like the house and the kitchen and the cleaning and all that type of stuff, because I think it's just so easy to just fall into a rut with certain things, and you want to make things as easy as possible. You want to make it as easy to clean as possible. You want to make right. it as easy to keep things neat and organized as possible. And it aids in like the willingness and the want to do certain things.
Right.
And you know, still things I can improve on and get better with, but you know, just little stuff, like ironically Jay from Queen and Jay, I found out, was the person that got us that toilet tissue organizer thing.
Oh baby, thank you.
Yes. What was interesting about that one, I sent her a Christmas card. She didn't send me her address or anything for the card. I just already had it for something, and I was like, oh yeah, Jay, I'll send her a Christmas card. So that was interesting that we were both kind of thinking of each other without thinking of each other.
Aww.
Right. Without, like, I was like, what, you did that, you know? So then the other thing was she was like, I couldn't have y'all having your toilet tissue just sitting on the back of the toilet seat. I was like, no, we have toilet tissue holders just on the counter, but thank you anyway, you know, because it's still better when you, because then you have to put the extra rolls under the sink or somewhere. God forbid you have to like make that trek to the kitchen to get it or whatever.
Right.
So,
and one of them is tight and it's hard to get the roll in there, so I'm like, fuck it.
Yeah. So anyway, point being, like, thank you. But that was like a little small organizing thing, and you can put your phone down in there. I put my tablet mm-hmm. on it.
I love that thing.
Yeah, I got one for my bathroom after that, because I was like, yo, this is really convenient.
Mm-hmm.
Other things I bought, I went to Marshall's and bought a broom that had a dustpan that like you take, and it's pretty, it's like a big dustpan, like it's almost like a bin, like a small garbage can, and you stick it on the ground and you sweep stuff directly into it, and it's just much bigger than a dustpan, and you don't have to stand up because it has a bend down because it has a handle, so yes. You can just do all your sweeping while standing. Oh. It's such a small thing.
I love it, because that goddamn bending down is for the fucking birds.
Yeah, it's such a small thing, but you know, it's stuff like that. And then Karen got some, she had this idea, like, yo, we have a pantry, it has all our stuff, like a bunch of food stuff in it, cleaning stuff in it, and there's always these mops and buckets and shit they're just on the bottom way. And in the way you have to move it out the way every time you go in there to grab something fall, you gotta fucking get everything out, move it. And Karen was like, we should get something that can just like put on some like that can hang and be a rack to hang these things on. It's such a small idea. My thing was, we live in an apartment, I don't want to like drill any holes in some shit,
right,
have these motherfuckers come out and be like, you fucked up the door, you pay, you owe us the deposit. So but Karen was like, we can, you know, there has to be one that's non-stick. And I said, if you find one that's non-stick, we'll get it on, I mean non-drilling, get it on Amazon and we'll do it. And she found it. She also put up some handles and hooks inside of our cabinets to hold things like the oven gloves and oven mitts. She put up, she bought a she told me to buy a rack.
I just giving him a list of shit.
A rack that was goes inside of one of our cabinet doors that actually we're able to put
cutting boards
mm-hmm. there, because we always had the cutting boards way in the back. And she got a little stand for all the frying pans and pans type of thing, and you can sit those in there. You don't have to like pile them on top of each other. That they're not scratching each other up.
That thing is the fucking best, because you can actually just put them on top of each other.
Yeah, yeah, but without them touching, because you can already sit pans on top of each other. But now, you know, they're not messing up all the non-stick stuff that you paid all that extra money to get. And then the bottom of some pan is like fucking it up. So, yeah, it's just a bunch of stuff like that, little things. And you know, I had already been buying certain, I bought a thing for to hold our coffee, and whatever.
And that's
that's
what prompted me to think, do you get a tower, a little tower rack?
I bought a towel rack for the kitchen towel, so we're not just folding them or sitting them on the counter, shoving them in some drawer.
Right, then you can't find it.
Well, not just that, but they go in a drawer, and then also we have some of our kitchen utensils in there for cooking. Like, you know, and I think the more I cook, the more value I see in that stuff.
Because I just want to make it convenient, because the more convenient it is, it's just be a smoother process.
Right. As for the store, guys, it's called Grace. And I hope I'm pronouncing this right, but it's like Grace, L-E-A, it's spelled GRACEELEYAE.com. Grace, like I said, L-E-A or L-E-A, something like that. And they're called slaps. I don't know if you guys, maybe y'all already know of this shit and it's nothing to y'all. But they're buy one, get one, original slaps. Start off the year with a bang. And you know, it's hair protection for black women and stuff, and they have different types of them. You know, I got Karen, I think the original, maybe, I don't know if I got you two original ones.
Okay,
but they have winter essential ones that are like thicker. They have the ones that look like hats, I mean headbands. Like, if you're trying to protect your hair and you're tired of shit just fucking your hair up and this extra stuff you have to do, I know different black women have different types of hair,
right?
So this one might be something for you, even, and black men as well. I mean, I'm sure
y'all hair can break too.
Our shit can break. We just normally keep it shorter and stuff, but there's a lot of people, black men, with long hair and shit. And maybe you want something you put on your head in the winter that it doesn't fucking, you know, you don't worry about damaging your hair.
Right. Oh, and we also got the spice rack thing.
Yeah, the spice rack thing was weird because it didn't really fit the way it looks on the box.
Right.
It was so weirdly put together. I'll see if I'm a fan of that. I haven't cooked I've only cooked once since we got the spice rack thing. We'll see how that works out, but it is better than just having the spices slammed up in there and hoping to get to them the right way. We also have an actual rack of spices, but I never fucking use that rack, and I always forget. I go to the store and I'm like, oh, I'm out of oregano, but there's a big ass oregano sitting on the spice rack, so I'm gonna do better about that so I can use up that rack. Because you know, as much as I cook with HelloFresh or whatever, even when I cook my own recipes, you know, I always add a bunch of spices to the shit because white people recipes say salt and pepper to taste.
That, for real though,
and my taste go beyond salt and just pepper. That's come on now. You know, you don't gotta, like, no wonder people be throwing extra salt in their shit, because they just throwing nothing but salt and pepper on there. So anyway, Anything else before we move in?
Oh yeah, one more thing I want to talk about is getting older. Getting older has been really interesting process, because I know I had shared with y'all before about, you know, when you, the older you get, one day you look down and your coochie hair is gray and don't know you, there's no warning, there's no, nobody tells you that one day you gonna look down there and it's gonna be a cotton ball. It kind of just happens. So I was talking to my, some of my older family members, and we were joking about it, and they were saying, yeah, they were saying that that's something that a lot of older people don't tell people kind of in their mid-age, like that your body's going through, because being a woman is a lot. You're already dealing with your titties, you're already dealing with your ass, and then you go through your period, and then, you know, you start going gray, then you go through menopause. It's a lot of fucking steps to being a woman. So I didn't know. Like I said before, I looked down and I thought something was wrong at first. I was like, what the fuck is this? What's going on? What's happening? Like, you know, and so it's a process. And talking to my mom and them, and I know that this might sound ignorant, but I just didn't know. I know that the hair on your head turns gray, because you see old people walking around.
Haven't you talked about this before? Huh? You talk about the gray. We didn't talk about this before already.
Yes, but okay, but,
I do your thing. I just want to make sure I wouldn't have deja vu.
No, you're not. But I was talking about that to get to this other part of the story. So I was talking to my mom and them, and I was like, well, yeah, your hair grows gray on your head, because you can see that. But then talking to my mom and them, they was like, yeah, your hair grows gray literally all over your body. And I was like, all over your body? They was like, yeah, they was like, your eyebrow hair grows gray, you know, because they were talking about your hair on your arms go gray. And then they was talking about once you get to a certain age, growing older, for some women, all the hair just kind of stops growing on their vagina. It just goes bald. I was looking at them like, what? I was like, yeah, it just goes bald. You know, then, you know, as you get older, for women, your estrogen goes down, but your testosterone rises. So all of a sudden, all your mustache hair and your beard hair that grow randomly grows out the side of your neck and above your lip start turning gray too. So it was just a funny process, just talking to them and just, conceiving, you know, this is, your body goes through this, but people don't talk about that. People don't really talk about what happens as you go old. You're not going to be young forever, but, you know, at least prepare people. You know, you just looked and you're getting shocked and surprised because you're like, nobody told me this. It's no manual. It's no paperwork. You don't get no memo. All of a sudden you're looking down and you're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, I hear you. Anything else, sir?
Nope, that's it. I just wanted to get that off my chest. I just had a good time talking to my family about getting old, because I knew none of that shit. I know for some of y'all, they were like, well, you should have. No, I did not know. No, that you don't get no book, no manual. It's no how to. It's no this. You know how they be like, they give you the books of, you know, what to expect when expecting, or what to expect as a teenager. You don't get no what to expect when you in the middle age and you're getting old. I missed that book.
Yeah. That's true.
But so I've been learning from my family kind of things to expect. And then next year I get this year I turn 40. And so when you turn 40, that's when you get the mammogram. So I'm like, okay, that's going to be an experience to get that done, you know. And then at my job, I call it the titty bus. Comes to the job about twice a year, the big pink bus with the thing on it, and they just come and they just do mammograms all day, because it's probably more convenient than you actually going to your doctor.
Is that where you going?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet. I might actually just because you can actually go to, I guess there are specific doctors that you can actually go to.
Yeah, I was just wondering, because I know we have a doctor already, so I was wondering, are you gonna wait till your physical and go to them, or?
Oh, I can't. I asked because
so they don't even do them,
right? Because
do they recommend someone?
Yeah, they do. She gave me a piece of paper, and she was like, when you turn 40, she gave me like the number to call and all that stuff. So that's probably what I'm gonna do. But separate from that, I did not know that the pink breast bus go to your jobs, and most insurance companies pay for mammograms.
Yours?
Yes. And so
do they go to your job?
Yes. Okay. Yes. That's why I call it a pink titty bus, because it just comes several times a year.
I'm sure that's the medical name. They only went to school for 16 years to hear that, so that's fine.
I got these jokes, they gonna get them. Your bus shouldn't be pink. I'm the worst. But that's my running, kind of my personal running joke for whenever it shows up. And so they're doing their job, and it's like a big mobile bus, and that goes around, and you know, I'm looking looking as forward as I can get to it. And then, you know, I didn't know when you turn 50, that's when it's time for the colonoscopy. If I'm pronouncing,
colonoscopy, I believe.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. That's when you get that. So, you know, it's things to look forward to as you get older. But I enjoy getting old, cause honey, it's been a process for me, honey. And I'm going to laugh my way all the way through it.
Yep. Well, you get older and, you know, you have less control over your body and stuff.
For real, because I was listening to you to
okay.
You look
okay. Oh, this is just part of the aging process, baby.
You okay. Look,
I'm not judging you, okay? It's fine.
That is not me.
That was a major one. Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry. That was amazing.
That was not me.
You know, it's just, look, there's nothing to be ashamed of, Karen. People get older, and that's fine. I don't know why you acting like this. You can.
That was not me.
Oh, Karen. Come on. Jesus. Oh, God. Is there a horse in here? Oh, my word. Oh. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That wasn't me. That was you. You're pressing a button, you're doing something over there. That is not me. I promise you it ain't. But I was what I was gonna say was that I heard you talking about on Balls Deep getting older and playing basketball and how your body responds differently. You know, men and women actually, you know, you respond differently to things. You have to take more time off, give yourself more time to recover and shit like that. I know you joke at me, but you know, I haven't done it in a long time because I haven't had to. But you know, every now and then, I haven't done it in a while, I like to take get a massage, take an Epsom salt bath. Oh, you feel like a brand new person.
Yeah, it's just weird because I know I've never hurt my hip before, and I think I pulled something in my groin. I keep saying my hip, but that's just how it feels. Your groin is actually, I had Googled this. That's when you know you're getting old, when you have to Google your injuries, like what the fuck is wrong,
right?
But your groin is actually like a combination of a bunch of muscles, kind of for men in the middle of your body, but I guess okay. Women as well. But like it's your quads, it's like hamstrings, like these muscles in between your legs and shit. You know, I kept thinking like your groin was like one thing, but not. And so I pulled something in my groin, and what my problem was, I just kept playing basketball that day, and I knew it hurt, and I was like, maybe I could tough it out. And that was a big mistake, because I ended up basically not being able to play ball for over a month. It hurt like just to walk. I was limping. Mm-hmm. My leg was weak.
Yeah.
And so it was the kind of thing where the only thing that was gonna heal it was really time. Mm-hmm. There was no, like I haven't pulled a groin since I was like 20. So, it just sucked, you know? And so, you know, I started playing basketball again like last week. I think I played 2 or 3 times the last couple of weeks. And then I played again today. And today, even like when I finished playing, like when I started playing, it felt a little gimpy, a little sore. I could just feel it was sore, but it didn't hurt like too bad. But I was like, oh man, I guess my hip's not 100% healed. And so then I played ball, and when I got done, it was kind of sore, but not as bad as when I injured it. And I'm not limping or anything, nothing popped. I don't, you know, but you know, just let me know, like, this is gonna be a longer process than I thought. And that's okay, cause I think when you're older, you heal a little slower.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I talk about when you heal a little slower is you actually start hurting in different cycles. Like,
yeah.
When I was younger, like if I twist my ankle, like my ankle starts swelling like right away normally.
Immediately.
It hurts right away. Tie my shoe up. Sometimes you play through it, sometimes you don't. But, you know, over the next couple of days, you know, you can still kind of play through it or whatever. You know, maybe you ice it up and take a day off or something. But, this time, like sometimes you know, I get injured playing basketball or something, it doesn't actually hurt for 2 or 3 days. Like I know it's hurt
but there's no pain, there's no weird, but it's getting worse, and it'll be the worst in 2 or 3 days as opposed to being the worst right away and popping right back or whatever. So it's just getting used to different things. But the only choices are get older or die. So I prefer to get older.
Me too. And I was listening to you and Bob David, how you were laughing, you were talking about your pride about me rubbing that industrial strength
being gay or yes. whatever that shit is. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a pride thing, because I mean, look, I'm a man, and I still have the male toxic masculinity hangups. I just try to fight those battles internally.
That was hilarious, because I
push them out of my mind.
I was like, look here, old man, come on now. I know I've been injured before,
but it did help and it did work. It's like with all things, you know, you just have to get rid of that pride and realize that, you know, it's not healthy. And all these are all things I learned from people that thought that they were doing good by teaching me, like, be strong, be tough, be this, you can get over it, just walk it off and shit. But that's not really good, you know. It's like when they tell NFL players to walk off concussions and shit, like, you can't be listening to them niggas, you know. So but yeah, it definitely helped. But taking time off, I think, was the biggest thing.
Right. That helps a lot. Like I said, I just realized that, particularly, you know, if you, because, you know, they tell you as you get older to work out and exercise and stretch, and, you know, all of a sudden you have to stretch even longer. You just can't get up and just run like you used to and move a little slower. And like I said, I done got old now. I know when I fall, I break. So. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when I'm walking, I have a tendency to look down more frequently, because I'm like, I don't know what pebble or what rock gonna be on the way and then make my ass fall.
Yeah, I'm not that old yet. That's some, you just like acting real old. You always been that way. But
you know,
we not 80 or some shit where it's like, no, I broke my 80. Hip, I'm never gonna be able to walk again. Like,
but yeah, I've always been a kind of like an old spirited person.
Yeah. All right, let's get into the news now that you guys have had enough of us talking about absolutely nothing. I don't know. That's going to be the poll. Do y'all like when we do that, or is that boring as it feels? I'm hoping that, hoping people enjoy that stuff.
Me too.
But I don't know.
I don't know.
It's like they did a half hour on mammograms and
come on,
hips and what, Epsom salt.
Come on, Epsom salt is your best friend. A lot of people, dip your ass in some Epsom salt. You'll feel like a brand new person.
You know, I do got a couple of random thoughts before we do the news. Let's just go ahead and get these out the way now so okay. We don't have to do them. I think we need positive bully reinforcement in schools. Like, we take the bullies and we make them stop being mean to kids, but start building these kids up. Like, instead of, like, they can hold them down and be like, stop hating yourself, stop hating yourself, stop hating yourself, instead of stop hitting yourself. I was just thinking about that. Also, I saw a lot of comedians doing the Bob Ross challenge, where you take a painting and some, you have to make a painting in 30 minutes.
Okay.
And then you take a picture of it at the end. That's the Bob Ross challenge. And the proceeds go to some charity.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't do it. I think I'm going to wait for the Rick Ross challenge. And that's when you eat 50 hot wings and then you take a picture of yourself in the hospital emergency room. I think I'm more, that's my speed.
You will if you eat 50 hot wings.
I think that's my speed.
Yes, you will be there.
I've been doing a lot of scientific observations lately, and I officially have some results I'd like to report to everybody.
Okay.
No one walks slower in a parking lot than a black dude that is making direct eye contact with you. No one. I've done the surveys, I've done all the testing, and my results are final. Niggas love walking slow in a motherfucking parking lot and making direct eye contact with you, like, and what you gonna do about it? Run me over and help me get paid for the rest of my life? I don't think so.
And they will look at you like, I damn you.
They do everything to turn around. They do everything to turn around and moonwalk.
Right? Sometimes they move even slower.
Like, good grief. And then also my survey results. No one drives faster in the parking lot while making direct eye contact at their cell phone than a white woman. this combination has got to be the most dangerous combination in the game. Good grief. I'm surprised there's not more collisions between white women just running over black dudes in the parking lot every day. It's like the opposite of black.com. It's crazy.
But yeah, white women be doing fucking 90 in the parking lot, don't even be looking up, just vroom, just assumed you saw my big ass SUV. No way you would want to die, because I will kill you to get home.
Right? What, I'm on a mission.
Slow the fuck down. Jesus Christ. Very scientific, K-Can. Don't question my science, okay? Oklahoma man opens fire at a Taco Bell over hot sauce.
Oh, they give him the wrong kind?
I
said I want it spicy.
Right.
The hot kind. They gave me mild.
It was a mild mistake. It turned
this insider reports an armed man is said to have allegedly opened fire at an Oklahoma City Taco Bell because he didn't get enough sauce. Oh. The incident reportedly occurred on Monday at about 1:30 a.m. A police department official stated it appears that there was some type of confrontation with an employee through the drive-thru. A man was complaining about not getting enough sauce or not getting any taco sauce and was very upset. During that disagreement, the man reportedly grabbed a semi-automatic handgun and fired a shot through the drive-thru window.
Goddamn!
He's said to have then entered the building but left before police arrived. No one was injured and authorities are searching for the suspect.
God damn, that's some pressure.
That's too saucy.
Too saucy for my blood. It must, you know what kind of sauce it must have been?
What?
Fire. Alright.
And then people wonder why they give you like 50 of them. Shit, that ain't cost them an extra dime. You can have all the sauce and shit.
Right, they shouldn't care.
Right!
That's why I hate those managers that used to be like, Rod, only give them one hot mustard per six nuggets. And if they ask for more, you tell them it is 27 cents a nugget. I'm like, man, I hate you. Just fire me.
Right.
So now you got a bunch of angry motherfuckers when I tell them, sir, it's gonna be 27 cents plus tax for the nuggets. Oh man, come on. Y'all gave it to me last time.
Right.
Let me get my gun.
I'm finna kill you. I'm finna kill you. And now you bleeding. They play it. When I shoot you in your neck, the noise gon' play it.
Yeah, while the manager in the back.
Right.
You know,
let me speak to a manager. The manager come out and sell you out right away. Here's 27 hot sauces, sir. Sorry about that. He's new. I'm like, what the fuck? You told me that.
Yes, they will go against their own rules. Yes, they will. And I know, for me, and I don't know if it's a black thing or what, but I know a lot of times we go places and I be like, I want extra this, I want this. Sometimes they be scared. They be like, well, that's extra. And I be like, that's okay.
Oh, nah, when I worked, I know I used to feel that way, but it's the job. The job just beats you down.
Oh, okay. And there's a lot of times they're very timid when they say it.
Because, I mean, you were a waitress. You know what this is. You working with the public. The public is a piece of shit.
Yeah, yes, they are. But I guess because if I ask for it, I'm like, fuck it. I'll pay the extra charge, you know, cause it ain't.
Right. But we've also been in situations where somebody wanted some extra and then they turned around and acted a goddamn fool.
Yes, they
when you
have.
Put it on the tab. That's $3. You wanted $3 more worth of orange juice. What the fuck is on the menu? And now I gotta act like a little bitch in front of everybody. Like you can't read. We want a craft of orange juice, and they get an attitude of you. They it's gonna catch hell either way.
Right.
Okay, sir. Well, a craft of orange juice is actually $8. That's fine. Fine, sir. I ain't got $8. Okay, I didn't want no problems. Just
right.
Trying
I'm
to help.
You know, because if I don't let you know, it's gonna be a problem on the other side. Half, when you get the
right.
bill.
Because half the time, motherfuckers get the bill and they be like, "Ooh, who put this $8 of juice on here?"
Right.
I'm like, "Nigga, you asked for that craft. You looked me dead in my motherfucking eyes. I said." You know it's $8, and you said, "I don't even fuck. I got $8, nigga. You broke ass bitch."
Right.
And then you get the goddamn check, and you like you want to run out the restaurant. Like, nah, I understand. Like the same thing. Like, cause I catch a hell either way. If I give you a hot mustard sauce, this might be the day my manager decides to stop doing cocaine in the back office and come out here and get mad
and count the inventory.
Yeah, this might be the day today. We sure all running out of hot mustard sauce. Like, oh, here we go. You know, so it's just that bullshit. I get why they say it. You gotta be like, that's why I said I don't like the new customer service, but I don't blame the customer service people. Mm-hmm. I blame fucking the entitled ass American consumer. We're so fucking entitled. No one can just do their job. We always gotta make, cause we know if we make a big enough stink, they'll do the thing they're not supposed to do. You know, the amount of motherfuckers I know who like, it's just ridiculous. You know, like I'll listen to people, like podcasts and the people, you know, like white people, comedians and shit. And they'll be like, yeah, you know, sometimes you shoplift shit. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, white people do that. Like niggas cannot do that.
Right.
There are no shoplifting niggas for fun. Like, niggas shoplift out of necessity. You can't
come
just
on.
It's not just like a thrill or some shit, but also that's that entitlement, because they know that nothing's really gonna happen to them, you know. But my black ass walks in and I'm just nervous, they gonna accuse me of shoplifting and I didn't do shit.
Right, you know? Right. And that's why people do shit like, you buy something, you know what, you want a bag? Yes, ma'am, it's nothing but a candy bar. Put that bitch in a bag and put the receipt in there too.
And so being on both sides of it, you know, when you're working there, you're like, what a dick. Like, you came in and stole a sandwich from the fucking sandwich shelf or whatever. You know who gets cussed out for that? Me.
Right.
You know who gets accused, gets threatened with firing? Me.
Right.
It ain't like you ain't got it. You just didn't give a fuck. You don't give a fuck about me and my 725, so I don't really, you know, I don't really, like, that's why you listen to the show. We're very pro raising minimum wage.
Yes.
We're very pro getting a living wage for people. We're very, pro, workers' rights and shit, but it's just because we had some shitty jobs and the customer is mostly shitty people. They don't treat you well. You give a motherfucker a little power, not a lot. Everybody's so worried about the politicians and the big corporations. No. You, motherfucker. You get a little power and it goes right to your motherfucking head. Treating waiters and help like shit. Talking down to people. Calling and cussing out the customer service people. When you get one of those fucking robocalls, you act like a dick to them rather than just not answering the phone or hanging up. Like, you know, it's just that weird shit that people do. It's just like, god damn, the average person is so entitled. We were on that plane and everybody lost their fucking mind over that delay. Like,
yes, they
did. Like they would rather them send us out on a shoddy flight that crashed halfway through because at least we on time than to fucking live and have to take that extra hour to make sure that the thing they are going to propel us through the sky with doesn't fucking explode.
Right. We going hundreds, possibly thousands of miles, quote unquote, per hour to get somewhere that would take us days to drive, and you're acting a fucking fool. And
now I speak to Mr. American Airlines.
Yeah. You know, and it's one of those things where that white woman cut her ass up so bad on that plane that the flight attendants just got off the plane. They literally just walked off the plane.
Right.
Cause every time she seen one of them, she was saying something. And it was to the point where I was like, you know what? If I had my white privilege, I'd be like, bitch, shut the fuck up. You're gonna have to wait just like everybody else.
So like, I get it. Sometimes, and this is not to say these employees never do a bad job.
Right.
There's no such thing as a, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it's been skewed so far in the customer's favor that it's almost absurd, you know? Anyway, back to the news. ACLU accuses Arizona High School of making students wear a scarlet badge of shame. School officials defended the use of a color-coded student badges and say it's not punitive. The American Civil Liberties Union is accusing an Arizona high school of violating students' privacy rights and shaming them with a scarlet badge over grades. Students at Mingus Union High in Cottonwood, about 100 miles north of Phoenix, wear badges around their necks every day on campus. Red color IDs for freshmen, sophomores, and gray for juniors and seniors.
No, don't do that. Mm-mm.
But this, so don't even wear it for the freshman, sophomore, junior, senior thing. Okay, mm-mm. Cool. Well, you really not gonna like the rest of this. This fall, upperclassmen who are failing class are being forced to wear red underclass IDs, and the ACLU said in a letter that claims Mingus Union is in violation of federal statutes on keeping academic information private.
Right. None of your fucking business.
Right.
Right. And my thing is that I'm a student here. You know I'm a student here. I belong here. Why do I need to say, have something to identify myself so I can be fucking bullied? Because that's what you're doing. Because if I'm a freshman and I run to upperclassmen, I can't just roam the hallways. All of a sudden I fucking stand out. It's already petrifying for a freshman anyway to all of a sudden you're going to this new school. A lot of times you're separating from a lot of your friends because y'all all go to different high schools to come into this environment. And now it's ninth grade. So, you know, you're younger than you used to be 10th, 11th, and 12th. Now it's 9th through 12th in most situations. And then now I have to deal with wearing something to fucking identify myself? No.
Yep, the school district lawyer Susan Siegel also wrote that color codes on badges are important because upperclassmen have greater privileges than underclassmen, including the right to leave campus for lunch. Thus, any characterization of the badges as a scarlet letter that implies the use of the color is punitive is misleading. But the ACLU claims that other 11th and 12th graders who have failed a class but are still on schedule to graduate are among those being forced to wear red badges. The school knows that it's inflicting on these students, and the fact that they don't care is quite alarming.
Right, and it's shaming. You're shaming the students.
Right. Yeah, it does.
You end up having a higher dropout rate and shit like that because people are like, I don't want to come to school to get fucking picked on.
Right. It does seem very ridiculous and punitive to me because, I mean, you're basically trying to pressure them into, like, you're stupid, you're failing, so you will do better because you're now being shamed by us. And that's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that badge went nope. If you won't have like a ID or something like that, but nothing that you quote unquote wear around your neck that actually just flags, no.
Yeah, the other thing that's kind of weird too is like, why don't y'all just have like a list of the students and the ones who are not allowed to leave campus? Y'all can just check them on the list. That's like, why would that be a thing where you need to have a badge around your neck as opposed to just some school security person doing their job to be like, oh yeah, you're not allowed to leave campus, you're struggling with your grades, maybe they have to do tutoring or they have to, you know, maybe there's some valid reason that they have for why you don't have the same privileges as the students who are doing better in school and can have more leeway. Maybe that's valid. What I don't get is why you then need to turn it into like wear this fucking wear this thing around your neck that shows people that you can't leave campus because, you know, you're doing bad.
Right, and the way they do now, they fucking call your homes and email you and text you and shit if you miss a fucking class. So I do not understand this.
Yeah.
If you can't leave, you're going to be in class.
We have the technology now.
Right.
To do it differently. Bernie Sanders apologizes to female staffers sexually harassed during his 2016 campaign.
Three years later now?
I, for one, am shocked that there was any level of sexual impropriety or harassment from that camp of very forward-thinking individuals. It's not like anyone was a canary in the coal mine talking about the issues they have around, you know, the very male-oriented the very male-oriented point of view and the very harassing energy they had around the campaign via online and social media and whatnot. And it's not like anyone said that was any issues going on there. So I see how he could be so shocked, Karen. Because who would have told him? How would he have known? It was a big secret.
Apparently.
Yeah, on Thursday, he acknowledged and apologized for any sexual harassment or mistreatment of women who worked on his 2016 presidential campaign. Allegations that male members of his campaign had harassed and discriminated against female campaign workers have been circulating for weeks as the senator weighs a potential second presidential run. I thank them from the bottom of my heart for speaking out, Sanders wrote in a statement. What they experienced was absolutely unacceptable and certainly not what a progressive campaign or any campaign should be about.
Well, then my question is, are these people still working on your campaign?
I don't know. The allegations speak to unacceptable behavior that must not be tolerated in any campaign or workplace. To the women in that campaign who were harassed or mistreated, I apologize. So, I guess we can call that water under the bridge. More than two dozen women have come forward with allegations against the campaign staffers. Politico reported Wednesday that a top advisor at the campaign had forcibly kissed a female subordinate in 2016 after the Democratic National Convention. The advisor, Robert Becker, has denied any wrongdoing. Friends of Bernie Sanders, the senator's main campaign committee, said Becker would not be part of any future campaigns in response to the allegation against him. Sanders has not personally been the focus of any of the allegations. He has said that he had been unaware of the alleged harassment and mistreatment of his aides during the campaign. I was a little busy running around the country trying to make the case, Sanders said to CNN. Sanders did admit his 2016 campaign standards and safeguards were inadequate. He outlined what steps his 2018 Senate re-election campaign had taken to prevent sexual harassment, including trading on the issues for all employees. Former campaign staffers wrote a letter to the senator in December to request a meeting with him and his advisors about the issue of sexual violence and harassment in the 2016 campaign in order to mitigate the issue in the upcoming presidential cycle. So I guess he does probably plan on running again. All right. Over two dozen Sanders alumni signed a letter in which he noted they noted a culture of what they call toxic masculinity was common throughout the campaign. Well, let me tell you something. One of the reasons, and it's no fucking secret to me, and I really hate when people try to downplay this, to be honest, women will try to downplay this. I don't understand the point. But a huge part of the surge against Hillary Clinton was that she was a woman.
Right.
And I don't apologize for observing that and noticing that, and I won't take it back. And it doesn't matter how you fucking personally feel about her. We live in a sexist society. Part of how you got that way is because of sexism. Things stick to her in a way that don't stick to men who do the same fucking thing.
Correct.
You know, it's infuriating because it's gaslighting. It's people telling you that you're not sane. Like, no, our society is sexist except for the highest office in the land. In that case with Hillary Clinton, there is no sexism. She's just a terrible, horrible shit. Candidate who lost because she's horrible. Now, she won the popular vote. She's only second in the popular vote ever to Barack Obama, but okay, she's a terrible candidate. She's horrible. No one likes her.
No qualified.
Super predators. None of that shit. She's like everything. But yet you look at what the talking points around her and against her, and it was like everything she is accused of doing, the men around her and bigger than her and the competitors and the alternatives to her are fucking worse. They're all worse. Yeah. Oh, she said super predators campaigning for this thing. Okay, cool. Bernie voted for it. Joe Biden voted for it. Bill Clinton authored it. What are y'all even fucking talking about? The choices on the ballot were her or them niggas, and you can't be for them niggas and then be like, but it sticks to her. And the media was complicit, and many people talking about it were complicit.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you can tell. People did everything but say that they were sexist. You use cold words, you use cold language when people questioned and challenged you, you know, but I'm not sexist though. What the fuck is it? Because every other logical thing I've eliminated, or what else is it other than that?
See, there's this thing that these motherfuckers do where they if you say to them like, okay, but it all kind of evens out, and know this one candidate you're focused on isn't perfect, but neither are the other ones. They always go, so I can't say anything critical? No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is ultimately there comes a time when you have to make a decision.
Right.
And so you can be critical as you want to be. The point is, are you being fairly critical to everyone? Because everyone thinks they're, like, sexism is almost worse than racism. Because
mm-hmm.
everyone thinks they're beyond sexism. Right. Everyone. No one thinks they have a hang up with it. The most hotepy of hotep motherfuckers don't think they have a problem with that. You will occasionally find somebody that's like, I'm just a fucking racist. I don't give a fuck.
Yes.
Somebody can be a full out chauvinist and be like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I love women. It doesn't even matter. There is no right or wrong with that shit.
Right. Even though it logically does not make.
Right.
It doesn't make sense. Just the way you talk, the words you say, the phrases, you know, how. Your presence in front of women, you're doing every fucking thing, but yet if I tell you to your face, I'm the one that's lost my goddamn mind by telling you that your behavior exhibits these things.
I guarantee you there are rapists who go, I don't hate women. I don't Correct. Even know where y'all get that from.
Correct.
You know, people that have domestic violence towards women. I don't know where y'all even getting this from. I love my wife. I love women.
Yes.
Like, it's just, no one thinks they have the issue, so we can't talk about the issue really and go, well, that may have affected this campaign. So what I'm trying to say, the bigger point I'm trying to make is not whether or not Bernie Sanders is a sexist, or whether or not even his campaign staff or whatever, like, if there was sexual harassment. No, my point is, because he was the alternative to Hillary, he got the support, the groundswell of these people. Everyone who was not fucking eating the Bernie Sanders chili understood that this was a consequence of it. And this is what we were talking about when we said his fucking campaign was not good. Like, when we said, like, we don't want to be a part of this angry white, old white man yelling during debates at this woman. One of the reasons we were put off by this was like his fan base around him is not a genuine support of this man. They don't actually give a fuck about this dude. He is the dude who isn't the woman. That's right. As far as they fucking care. It, honestly, if Barack Obama could have ran with Hillary Clinton's exact platform, her platform was actually more progressive than Obama's, but fine. He could have ran with her platform. If he could have ran for a third term, he'd be president right now. So it's not a policy thing. It's not a political advertisement thing. We made some mistakes with the way we crafted it. It wasn't any of that shit. Just one person was a woman and one person was a dude. And it was that fucking simple when it came down to the get down with Bernie or lay down. That was it. Mm-hmm. He wasn't a god. He wasn't a saint. And now, 2 years later, we can finally revisit his campaign where black staffers said they weren't heard. They said they experienced racial harassment on the campaign trail. They said he gave up on the South and didn't campaign where there were large masses of black people.
No shit, because we were here and not. And the thing is, what's so fucked up about it is that when it came time for all the commercials, Hillary couldn't pump the hell out of you. You couldn't watch fucking Hulu or Amazon without that shit being on fucking repeat. It got on your goddamn nerves.
And my point being, that is, his campaign took a boost from that type of misogyny. And this time it will be, I don't think he'll even be a threat in 2020. Mm-mm. Because to be honest, there's too many people in the fucking primary throwing their hats in, and he's actually not that dynamic or creative or progressive or whatever of a politician. And now that people have more than just him and Hillary, you won't be able to get all of the anti-woman people in one person's campaign anymore. So I think he's fucking up by trying to run 2020 if he's gonna do that. Also, like, really, dog, you wanna do this again? You couldn't beat Hillary. Why? What makes you think you can beat all these other motherfuckers? Like, people weren't that excited about Hillary. She was just the most qualified.
Right. And to me, in my personal opinion, it's a scam. I'm just gonna say it's a way to get money. You know, cause you run, you get boosters, you get money, you get all this shit, and he has showed you that he didn't share his money, not really spend his money within the Democratic Party. That's right. Why they passed this fucking law that says you have to be a Democrat for a certain period of time to fucking run as a Democrat, because they was like, he's not gonna come and fuck up the party like he did last time, and as soon as he goddamn lost, changed that D to an I.
And I absolutely believe that he was not aware of these personal incidents and shit. That's not a stretch to me. I'm not trying to paint these people as like fucking evil machinations or shit. He was running for president and probably didn't give a fuck and didn't care about the results of being surrounded by a bunch of motherfuckers that were anti-woman as long as they were gonna vote for him. Correct. Why would he care? He just needs to get their votes. It's a transactional process. Kamala Harris, I think we talked about her having a staffer. Yes, a senior aide who also had a sexual harassment lawsuit filed against him. And I can dig that she probably didn't fucking know it happened. I get that they're not walking in the office every day and checking on like the HR shit. Mm-mm. But that being said, yeah, I'm not surprised that this dude's campaign was rife with sexual harassment. And I also don't think it's a coincidence that the most chauvinistic president we've ever had was elected on the wake of fuck Hillary Clinton. Because where do you think those people that were for Bernie and pro anti-woman went? Trump knew the right things to say. I'm anti-woman. Okay, well, that's what I was really over here with Bernie for. I don't like millionaires getting tax breaks, but I also hate them women, and you give me the most hate them women out of between you and Hillary.
Man, that's more important than everything else.
Let's see what else. Men get more emotional satisfaction from bromances than romances, a study finds.
I can see that.
A study has found that there may be more truth to the code of bros before hoes, which most people don't say anymore, than you might think. The study published in Men and Masculinities indicated that men felt less judged by their bros and their girlfriends. Participants also felt more comfortable talking about private and emotional subjects with bromantic partners than romantic partners. Let me tell you how fragile men are. we had to come up with a way to call just a friendship a cool name.
Fucking friendship. They couldn't just hanging out with your boys, just being cool.
We couldn't just call it.
You know what? We said that's my girlfriend. That's you know, that's my girl.
Right.
Y'all got a whole new phrase. We got a bromance, a man purse. Right. I mean, it's okay. Like the end of the, it's not gonna be the end of the world, y'all.
We have to brand everything.
Right, you gotta make it cool.
Like women have girls night out, guys have guys night out, obviously. But like bromance is just like, I have a really good friend who's a guy, bromance. We can't call it
a friendship.
Right. It's like why Under Armour and fucking right guard.
I told you that brute and, Musk.
Yeah, not Musk. That's not that Musk is easy. That's nothing. I'm talking about the fucking like deodorant for right guard. That's like Southern Aquatic Attack,
fierce not attack,
fierce green combination, military brigade flavor. I'm like, what? What scent is military?
Field team six red. You like, right. What? How do we get here?
Like, what scent is this? What is?
You're not giving me a scent. We're not. This is not a description.
Right.
Lavender, lilac. You know.
What does cross trainer attack smell like?
Pumpernickel. None of that.
Those are not scents.
Those are things that people do. They're not scents.
Fierce, fresh, attack, bold, operative. I'm like, what is these?
Right.
Shocking. What is shocking all? Shocking all flavor.
Shocking all.
why is the inside of my deodorant red, white, and blue? Why can't I just smell nice? I just would like to smell nice.
I'd be like, America strong. This is not a odor, y'all. This is not a flavor.
But we had to brand friendship. Bromance. But yeah, that's just ridiculous. Bromance. It's not like women have relation sis.
No, we don't.
Oh, you know, that's my relation sis. Like, we would be like, what? Why? That's just y'all are just friends, right? No, relation sis. Say the whole word. We don't want nobody to think that going on. Bromance. They might as well just say, we're not gay. We are not gay.
Right?
Please.
It's okay.
We're not fucking. We just friends.
You could be close with another man and not have any sexual attraction.
He tells
this
me about
happened to gay people, y'all.
He tells me about his feelings and I'm not sucking his dick. Please. So fucking fragile.
Right?
Anyway, they have a bromantic friend with whom they have no boundaries. Indeed, 29 of those surveys said they had cuddled with a bromantic friend. Now that is next level. I did not know niggas was cuddling out here. That, now I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that. I just didn't know. Is this a common thing?
Oh, I don't know.
I wonder what percent, how many people did they test? Cause I wonder what 29.
I know women cuddle, but that's, I don't know if that's the difference.
Only 30 men were surveyed. 29 said they had cuddled with a romantic friend. Now that's really progressive.
Yeah, it is.
But then you gotta call it something else cause you can't, you might fuck around and be gay if you don't call it a bromance. The words cuddled with feel important here. It's not surprising that most close mates have shared a hug, often as a greeting or celebration, but cuddled with paints an entirely different picture. To me, that says lining each other's arms on a chase lounge and eating grapes. Okay, who wrote this? L.A.
Sad, it was cheese and cracker, so we have cheese and cracker night as men.
Jake Massey of Lad Bible. Okay, don't know about this source, but okay, let's keep going with it. Most of the participants answered to the survey made reference to the fact that they felt more like they could be the real selves with their bros. As one respondent said, Tim knows I love listening to Taylor Swift and Beyonce, but I keep that quiet around my girlfriend because she would judge me. I feel like I have to be more manly around her.
She would judge you.
You know what? I don't know that man's relationship. Maybe she would.
That's true. I'm sorry. I know I don't judge. I am glad that we both love Beyonce.
Yeah, I hope it's in their head, to be honest. You know, cause I think a lot of, it's like the Terry Crews thing we talked about yesterday. A lot of it's just in our heads.
Correct.
It's not that it's about black women specifically. It's not about women specifically. It's not about other men specifically. It's just that box of masculinity makes you feel like, I can't tell people I have emotions. I can't tell people, I can't tell people I'm hurt. I can't tell people I've been sexually assaulted. I can't tell someone I'm bisexual. And if I do tell someone, I definitely can't tell my romantic partner if she's a woman because she will see me as less of a man. It might not even be fucking true.
Correct.
Like I said, sometimes it's true.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't want people writing up here with their experiences because I know for a fact it will be dozens of men writing up here to be like, yes, I cried in front of this girl and she did this, or, you know, I opened up this one time, and I don't want to make this into the fragile man hour and shit, because it happens. I acknowledge, I honor that it happens, but I'm also not trying to read a bunch of that shit on my feedback show. But I get it and I respect it, and I know it happens. But the point being, and I'm not even saying it happens comparatively, I guarantee women have been more let down by opening up emotionally to men, because men feel like we have to be in this certain fucking, we gotta be in this box, you know. So there's all this stuff, and obviously romance gets in there and that shifts things for people and the power play. But the point being, your girl, it should not give a fuck that you like Taylor Swift or Beyonce. And if she does, maybe she's not the one for you. And more than likely, my hope, my guess is, she don't really give a fuck. Like, she's not gonna be like, this mother, that's it. I gotta get some new dick. You know, I hope that's, you know, I hope it's not that simple for people.
I hope not.
You know, I hope I'm not putting women on too high of a pedestal to think that's a ridiculous
thing.
That's
where they draw the line.
I walked in the house, girl, and he was in there dancing to Taylor Swift, talking about Shake It Off. So that's why I got a new man. You know, like, I hope that's not what's happening. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm gonna go on a limb and say no.
No.
Participants also indicated they would prefer to discuss private matters with their bros. If I find a lump on my testicle, I talk to my bromance rather than my girlfriend, one man explained. That sounds more like a thing for the doctor, but
yeah, the doctor might need to check
okay.
that out.
but nah, that I do think it's interesting, because the no judgment thing, I think, is really what comes up. Mm-hmm. Because when it's romantic, women are, your romantic partner requires different things for you.
Yes.
And their life is intertwined with you in a different way. Mm-hmm. So there would be judgment, you know. There's going to be some judgment. That's, I mean, it's not, as long as it's not unhealthy. But, you know, if you, like, tell your wife, like, I don't know, something that you should be taking care of that you're not, yeah, she might be like, well, you should take care of that.
Right, out of concern.
Right, whereas if you tell your homie, like, he don't fuck you, yeah. He don't live there.
He not gonna tell you to go to the doctor. Well, he might, depending on what it is. But, you know, women actually want you to be around, and they're like, hey, dog, you know what? Go get that checked out.
And I'm sure, you know, to some extent, women probably have some certain things they cordon off for their girlfriends that they don't talk to their man about necessarily.
Correct. Because, like, it's amazing when you talk about to men and women who actually live in each other's household and actually, you know, you're intimate. Y'all do a lot of things. Y'all have literally been inside of each other, but men will fucking freak out if he has to go buy tampons or you know, do little things like that. When you go, well, that's part of life. I don't understand, you fuck me, like what's the fucking problem here? That's that masculinity is so fragile.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, it's still that thing where I still think there's gotta be things women talk about that they don't talk about to their man.
Of course
there's gotta be, just because that's why I mean, everyone's relationships have things they talk about with their friends that they might not talk about with their mate. Some of it being inconsequential. It's not like you listen to Taylor Swift is the end of the fucking world, and you want, if you want to tell your boy that's fine. You know, there's stuff I tell Justin, we talk on the pregame. It's not like it's a secret or nothing, y'all can hear those conversations. But you know, the flow of that show might go differently than the flow of me and Karen, because we just talk about different shit. I think men are just, you know, there's a different energy, you know, to it.
And we all think differently. We all have had different types of experiences. We all come from different perspectives. Because, yes, there are things that women talk about that, that's not funny, only happen to women. And you feel like if I talk to a man, not that your husband doesn't love you, doesn't care, but sometimes, depending on what it is, they just can't relate.
Well, you share different experiences in life.
Correct.
And like I said, even if they can relate, sometimes you just want a person that's been through the same shit.
Yes.
You know, it's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. But I'm not surprised that men might find more satisfaction in bromance than male friendships than
bromance
than same sex friendships than they do with their girls. I also think the biggest factor to this for men is just that a lot of men are just full of shit. And I think you really can't skip over that part, which is that, you know, if you're cheating on your girl, you're probably gonna tell your boy. You know, if you're doing something shady, that you don't want your girl to know about, you're probably not going to tell her.
Right.
You know, if you're not making the right moves or whatever, you know your friend's not going to necessarily judge you for flirting with that girl at work. But you know who will? Your fucking girlfriend or your wife or your fiance. So, you know, that's not really a news flash to me, you know? Speaking of news, let's see. What else should we do? Is there anything else I want to say, talk about? Yeah, the rest of these are kind of whack. we can always get to these things later. Let's do some, okay. Fucking with black people. Matter of fact, before I do that, actually, let me check out the trash. Is there anybody I feel like talking about? Yeah, we might as well do some trash too, real quick. Give me 1 second to bring up that sound. You know, beep, beep, beep. Take out
beep,
trash.
Beep, beep, beep.
Right, beep. There you go. All right. Skydance Animation criticized for hiring John Lasseter. You may know John Lasseter from Pixar and being brushed out of the door last year because he was in there getting handsy with legs and being a little creepy at work.
We talked about him in a note off, right?
We did. Well, he's already found a new job. Skydance Animation.
Skydance is big.
Yeah, apparently they directed such films, he directed such films as, Toy Story and A Bug's Life, in addition to serving as executive producer on every Pixar project. Lasseter aided Disney's in-house animation department by spearheading a fruitful new era. But in 2017, as the Time's Up and Me Too movements rose to prominence, he took a leave of absence following accusations of sexual misconduct at the workplace. After much debate about whether or not he would return, he formally left his positions at both Pixar and Disney at the end of 2018. Given his reputation and baggage, it was worth wondering if any other animation studio would be willing to give him another job, and Skydance said, hell yeah.
So, what about the woman over there now? Nah, I gotta be worried about, is he gonna be handsy with me?
Yep, he will become new head of animation at Skydance Animation. The move has received considerable backlash from various groups, including Time's Up, Women in Film, and more. Time's Up issued a statement. Skydance Media's decision to hire John Lasseter as head of animation endorses and perpetuates a broken system that allows powerful men to act without consequence. At a moment when we should be uplifting the many talented voices who are consistently underrepresented, Skydance Media is providing another position of power, prominence, and privilege to a man who has repeatedly been accused of sexual harassment in the workplace. Yeah, that's kind of, I mean, hate to say it because I know it sounds like we're saying, you know, it don't matter or something, but I'm not. It's just how I look at these things. Nobody gets canceled.
Nobody.
It doesn't even fucking matter. It don't matter what these motherfuckers do. Someone will always give a man that they consider talented another opportunity.
Yes, and they will.
Doesn't matter if they've ruined any careers, any of that shit.
As long as they can make money off of you.
Skydance CEO Dave Ellison called Lasseter a singular, creative, and executive talent. And that right. Lasseter had acknowledged and apologized for his mistakes.
Right, because they're looking like, shit, you was over there making all that money for Disney and Pixar. You can make that money for us.
You know what else it is, though? It's that this is why I tell people this shit when we talk about Beyonce, Rihanna. You pick any amount of brilliant women in the world. The reason that we call a lot more men genius than we do women, it's because men do shit like this and then we gotta justify them coming back. So now this dude gotta be a genius because it's the only way to justify a motherfucker walking around the office asking for hugs and weird shit like that is to be like, no, guys, you don't understand. He's a fucking genius, dog.
Don't
so like,
give a fuck if you we can't, me.
Like, we can't cut it. We can't not give him a job. What'd you say, Karen? I'm sorry.
I said, no, don't nobody give a fuck if he's touching you. Don't give a fuck how genius he is.
Right. Right, but you know what I'm saying. That's R. Kelly had to be a genius. I'm listening to this music. I'm like, this not genius level music. The fuck are y'all even talking about at this point? This Trapped in the Closet is like a joke. It's a running fucking joke. But you had to call it genius because you wanted to listen to it.
Right.
So now you have to be like, he's a genius, even though he's a fucking child pedophile rapist. He's a genius though, y'all.
Right. He didn't put out the thesaurus for none of these lyrics.
Right. Everybody that fucks up becomes a genius. That actually might be the secret to being a genius. That's what's wrong with a lot of these comedians. They're not fucking up enough. Pull your dicks out. Start acting stupid. You want to be a genius? God damn. That's why you're just getting canceled in you're just getting canceled all in the silence. I just don't like him because he's not funny. I just don't like him because he's mean, talk too much shit. No, pull your dick out, start waving it around. Everybody goes, you know, the motherfucker was very inappropriate to pull his dick out, but gotta say, he's a genius. He's a pretty smart egg, you know. That's gotta be the secret. Anyway, on Canceled Love is because of the Salim Akil sexual assault accusation against his mistress and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from his mistress against him, yes. But then it got a little weird. So Amber Dixon Brenner is the accuser of Salim Akil.
Mm-hmm.
And Salim Akil has been married this whole time. She was his mistress for 10 years, and she was said she was also abused by him within this side relationship.
Okay.
At some point, it seemed like she was kind of blaming his wife for not doing enough to help her. But that one feels kind of weird to me because you are cheating with her husband. Well, I don't know. That doesn't feel so black and white to me. I don't know how that works. You know, hey, I'm fucking your man and he is abusing me. Why aren't you stopping him? Why don't you do something to fix this? I'm not 100% sure about how that would work.
Me either.
And, you know, I just gotta say, I don't know. Like, I know everybody's gonna black and white, I figured this out, it's this and you do that one's a, I don't know, maybe call the police, because the woman whose husband you're fucking might not be the best ally in a situation where you are indeed fucking her husband for 10 years knowing full well he's married. I don't know. She said she decided to go public after she heard Mara Brock Akil speak out in support of the Me Too movement, where she claims Mara was aware of her affair with Salim. It started when Mara was on the cover of some magazine. She stood along with other women in the industry talking about Me Too or Time's Up. I read it and was appalled, and I felt disregarded, and that the issues from the relationship that I had, that in the past I tried to resolve or discuss regarding violence, she was very silent about, like not responding to texts earlier on in the relationship. What?
But you the other woman, dog. I'm not trying to be fun. Like, you can't erase you being the other woman to why she responded the way she responded.
I wrote her an email saying, how is it that you come forward now when in your private life you knew that your husband had a habit of hitting me? The letter I wrote was very thorough. I said I came to know it as a reflective of the definition of abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, and abuse of power, also based upon their stature in the industry and otherwise. When asked why she filed a lawsuit, Brenda explained, I got to a point where I could no longer live with myself and be the mother I wanted to be the Amber I always dreamed of being. If I tolerate the history of abuse, I could not walk with my head up. She claims she had a lengthy physical and sexually abusive relationship with Akil that occurred during his marriage to Mara. I don't know about this is a lot. I don't know about this shit, because I could absolutely see, if I'm cheating on Karen and abusing you and you call Karen, I could see Karen hanging the fuck up, like, I don't know what you thought I was gonna say. You know what I mean?
I could see me doing that too, and then having a conversation with you.
Like, I wouldn't look at Mara Brock Akil and be like, what a horrible feminist. She wouldn't help out the mistress that was being abused by her husband. Like, this is a hell of a lot. I can't believe that was the thing that made her come out, and not just the fact that this nigga was a piece of shit and stole her work.
Right. So I can see you coming out and being mad, and I can see you saying that I've been abused and all these things, because, you know, but where is your accountability?
Yeah, assuming this is on the up and up and right. Not just some shit where she's saying it for, like, to make everything look worse.
Yeah, it's like, it's your fault.
Because maybe she doesn't want to be known as, like, I only came forward when this nigga stole my screenplay. Like, I was straight, then he stole my fucking shit and used it on his TV show, and I said, fuck this, I'm coming out. I could see if maybe she didn't want to be known as that, even if that's what was the truth.
Right.
But this thing where Mara Brock Akil was supposed to become an advocate for you is asking a lot of any human being, that is especially being cheated on by some nigga. Like, That's a lot. We'll see what happens with that in the court of law.
Yeah, and we'll see what's the truth and what's not the truth and who knew what at what time. Like, who knows?
Yeah, damn, that's a lot.
It's a, it got to be a lot more to that than what's being told.
Yeah, I'm just trying to see who the fuck that open-minded. That's my nigga. That's a lot. Some nigga call me, hey, your girl, your wife cheating on us or whatever the fuck.
Cheating on us.
Your wife been beating me for 2 weeks. I've been fucking your wife for 10 years, first of all. Hi, my name is Jim. Now that we got that out the way, can you help me? Because she is being very emotionally and physically and sexually abusive.
I mean, Shirley, I mean, do we have need to have a talk, Shirley?
Yeah, that's a whole lot for me to process.
All at one time.
That's a whole lot, dog. I might not be the one to help on this one. You might need to get, like, what I'm also get y'all a couple's counselor. Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I'm not trying to make light of this woman's situation. What the fuck am I supposed to do? Like, this is a whole lot. Come on now. All right. Anyway, journalist Teray is accused of workplace sexual harassment. This is on Essence.com. You guys made it's what's funny. Once again, this is one of the things that keep getting people. He was on the R. Kelly documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently this woman saw him on that documentary and was like,
hold up,
now it's time for me to like show him that he was wrong for this shit. You know, like, how you gonna say, you know, which I guess in a weird way the Mara Brocker kill and then that woman thing that we just talked about was, oh, you talking about me too, you know, for some, so maybe that's what happened. Anyway, so since the premiere of Dream Hampton's Lifetime documentary Surviving R. Kelly, many celebrities have come out to denounce the R&B singer. Da da da. Let me get to the thing. One of the commenters in the documentary was Teray Neblett. Oh, I never knew his last name.
Mm-mm.
I thought it was like Prince.
Right, just the first name.
Who most commonly goes by his first name. Teray, a musical journalist, is quite familiar with the allegations Kelly has faced since his, throughout his career. Of course, we remember the interview he did with him where he asked him if he liked teenage girls. Earlier this week, Teray appeared on the Clubhouse with Mouse Jones podcast to once again discuss Kelly. In the post on Instagram, a comment was left on the show's Instagram post advertising the episode Teray appeared on, and it caught the eye on social media. All right, I don't know what's going on with this image on Essence. They gotta do a little bit better with the being able to blow this up. But someone named Danny Makeup said, but at Teray show used to sexually harass me ? How that work? So I asked her to explain. She said, every Monday I used to work with him on a show in 2017 and he couldn't stop asking me to do anal. How I look naked, if I had sex over the weekend, what it would be like to fuck me, what his cum would look like on my face. I had to have the crew stay in the room with me while I got him ready. And when I left, I called HR. He got fired instantly. He wrote me a huge apology for doing that in my DM. Still have it. He did a 2020 shoot in 2018 and I was there and he walked out, told the producer he was embarrassed because he was inappropriate with a staff member. He really needs to take a seat. And it's that thing, start talking and people be like, but ain't you selling drugs in the community? She also had the screenshots of the DM he sent her after this incident, apparently. An exclusive interview with Essence, Danny shared additional details about experience. I worked with him most of 2017. I left in October before he left. After Danny quit, she says she reported to Ray to Human Resources. He left Time Inc. after that, and according to his rep, because his agreement was over, not because he was fired. Danny claimed to have been sent an apology via Instagram from Teray, which she shared with Essence. As to what made Danny report Teray to his employer after she quit, she says because he was doing media appearances talking about Harvey Weinstein and his allegations of sexual misconduct. He went on Hot 97 and talked about Harvey Weinstein. After he apologized, I accepted his apology and was okay to move on, but you can't be a sexual predator and go around shaming other predators, she said. Well, that's gonna get you a lot of times. Danny said she shared a story on Instagram because she saw Torre on Surviving R. Kelly in the media appearances he was making. When I saw him going around as R. Kelly's docuseries spokesman to a different radio station, the lies had to stop. I've worked with Mouse Jones before and wanted him to know the truth. Then they had the screenshots from the apology, I guess. Damn, 2017 wasn't that long ago. November 29th, 2017. You're such a boo. What'd you say, Harv? Huh? I was at Good Morning America today. I asked about you. They said they never heard of you. What up with that, Danny? LOL. Yeah, okay. Where are you talking about, Matt? So I guess you said Harvey Weinstein, Matt Lauer, calling him. She keep calling him other sexual abuser people names. People TV. I said he once raped me. No one believed me. It was fucked up. I don't know what that means. People TV. I said he once raped me. No one believed me. It was fucked up. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. I guess you. Oh, he thought she was saying, "What were you talking about, Matt Lauer?" Or where are you talking about Matt Lauer? You said he's talking on People TV. I said he once raped me. No one believed me. It was fucked up. Okay. She said, "I'm surprised you're speaking out. I'm sure I'm not the only girl you have verbally harassed. You're lucky that I know how to say, go fuck yourself with a smile. And I'm not going to say anything about how many times you asked me to have sex or asked how it would be to have sex with me. A few other people I know said the same thing about you. Be careful out there." He said, "I love you. I was always kidding, but I'm sorry. I was being stupid. I should have kept my mouth shut. My girl Carrie is joining the BW fam soon. I better not hear some shit, Torre. Shit's getting real. She's not me. She won't tell you to go fuck yourself." And he said, "Look, I learned a lot watching this happen. The way I teased you," and this doesn't have a date, so I don't know if this is all the same day or not. All
right.
Say at the bottom. No, it doesn't really say. Okay. Anyway, "Look, I learned a lot watching this happen. The way I teased you is no longer funny to me. I had no idea how rampant it is and how much it gets in the working women's way, and how I was contributing to a whole environment of bullshit. And I hate that. I'm not playing like that with you anyone anymore. I knew I was playing an aggressive game with you, and I thought you knew where I was coming from, but I wouldn't put you or me in that position again. It was stupid and obnoxious, and I feel bad about it. I genuinely like you as a friend, and I don't want you to feel disrespected by me. That would be so embarrassing to me, I guess. I'm just not going to be part of the BS that women have to go through, so don't worry about hearing anything about me. I wouldn't put you or me in that position again. It was stupid and obnoxious, and I feel bad about it. I genuinely like your friend." Dun, dun, dun. Oh, wait. Okay. So he says, "That would be so embarrassing to me. I'm just not going to be part of that BS that we're about to go through. So don't worry about me and hear anything about me. I don't want to be that guy. Lord, no. I'm sorry. Please don't talk badly about me. I'm so ashamed to think of that happening." So that last line comes off a little desperate to be like, "Don't tell nobody about this shit, please."
Right.
He also issued his people issued a statement after this came out. It says, his team has issued a response to his rep. Okay. "On the show, our team, including myself, engaged in edgy, crass banter that at the time I did not think was offensive for our tight-knit group. I'm sorry for my language and for making her feel uncomfortable in any way. As lead on the show, I should have refrained from this behavior. I've learned and grown from this experience." All right. Yeah, man, you talk about this Me Too shit, you gotta have all your shit clean or be upfront and transparent about it, because the stories are coming.
Yeah.
What's interesting to me about this one is it happened in what appears to be like the makeup room and the green room. Those fucking green rooms are kind of like locker rooms too.
Yeah, they are.
The NFL recently had a big ass Me Too moment where it was like Marshall Faulk, Donovan McNabb, maybe Warren Sapp, but they had a makeup artist that they were fucking like sending dick pics to and telling these very vulgar stories in front of and shit. You know, they treat it almost like this is just where, hey, we're just horsing around in here, we're just playing around, this is funny, you know. And it's so ridiculous, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, I just come there to put your makeup on. I didn't come for all this other bullshit.
Right. And I know that in a weird way, and this is not to make an excuse for him, but Me Too was an awakening for a lot of dudes, because it was eye opening that your actions could actually be called to the carpet. Before then, it was just kind of like, well, what is she going to do? Not work? I mean, she gonna do the makeup, but she not gonna do the makeup. This how it is in every makeup room. We just having fun. It's not like he's married or whatever, so I don't know if these flirtations, quote unquote, or these aggressive jokes, I don't know that they were actual propositions or not. But yeah, with your names on the fucking marquee, you don't get to make those jokes. When your name's not on the marquee, you shouldn't be making those jokes. You're at work. You know, some of these entertainment environments don't feel like a jobby job.
Right, but it's still a job.
It's still a job. You know, the people always advocate for Louis C.K. and shit, but the end of the day is Louis C.K. was doing that to his coworkers.
Yes!
They don't have a cubicle. They don't have a name tag. They don't have offices. But the job is, we go on the road together, you do stand up to star for me or whatever, I come out after you open for me, you're getting money doing this for me, I'm getting money doing this, coming in after you. I don't get to be also the guy who asks you to watch me jerk off, or the guy who closes the door to the bathroom so you can have to watch me jerk off. Like, that's a ridiculous thing in any workplace.
Right.
So anyway, I just think Toray may have been taking advantage of that environment of, hey, we joke like this and shit, and once you see the Me Too shit, you go, ooh, this Me Too shit not just about raping people. Mm-mm. It's not just about putting your hands on people. It's also about how you talk to people, how you treat people, how you, your coworkers, the people in your private life, you know. And I think the Me Too movement type of stuff will find its bearings at some point, because it is kind of like, we don't have so much time, just bring up everything. And I do feel like society is already being kind of, they're treating it almost like, oh, I'm so tired of this shit already, you know, because it's like, if you bring up one that's not like a physical assault or something, people are already like, oh, we can't even, blah, blah, blah. But you have to bring it all up before you can find the balance.
Yes, there is a balance.
There may not be a time later. Like a year from now, nobody might not give a fuck.
Correct.
You know, like, shit, at least, I mean, not at least, but he lost his job, or his contract wasn't renewed after she went to HR. Even that was gotta be a result of 2017 being the Me Too year. Gotta be. You know, because how many companies would have been like, eh, I mean, it was unfortunate. Did he touch you or anything? No, okay, and you don't work for us anymore, so yeah, hey, it's fine. Mm-hmm. You know,
before then, companies would have got rid of her,
right? And she already had left, right? So they didn't have to get rid of her. So I could see them being like, oh, okay, whatever, you know. And this is, they actually did do something in this case and got rid of him, allegedly. Obviously, I don't know all the details, but all right, let's move into something else. Let's do some guest race. We'll skip fucking with black people today because Karen doesn't want to do it.
No.
Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. That's right, it's time for guess the race. The number one game show going across all of podcast land, where we read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today, Karen, to guess the race, and the chat room plays along, and they are racist. All right. Let's see. A Louisville man is sentenced in killing of girlfriend's cat with a machete.
Oh, shit.
This is kind of sore ratchetness. Louisiana man. Did I say Louisville? I think I meant Louisiana. A Louisiana man is accused of killing a girlfriend's cat and throwing it into a bayou. He was sentenced to 3 years in prison.
Oh, shit.
For killing a cat?
And throw it in the bayou.
You should have killed a black person. You would have been out in a day. The Huma Carrier reported a judge handed down the sentence of 30-year-old Cody Topes. I don't know. I'm not from there. After he pleaded guilty to one count of aggravated cruelty to animals. He cannot own animals for 10 years. The Thibodeau man was arrested in August. He was accused of grabbing a cat from inside his girlfriend's home and throwing it into the bayou. When the girlfriend's father tried to pull the cat out of the water, authorities say he grabbed a machete and fatally struck the animal. Damn. I know there's a lot of women that would love to have a man that just kill that pussy like that.
Oh, Lord.
No? You think they'd just rather he beat the pussy up? When the police, when the girlfriend's father tried to pull him out, kill the animal.
Well, that pussy did get some cut up.
Authorities said the deputies found a dead cat floating in the bayou near a large with a large cut on its midsection. Karen guessed the race of Cody Toops.
Oh, Cody was white.
Cody was white. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe. White. Everybody's going white on this one. And we're gonna have a white out. You had me at Cody. White, crazy bayou cracker, white, black. Like Kinsico. Cat chop suey white, was tired of that hairy cat white. The cat was nipped white. I guess there's more than one way to skin a cat. The correct answer was white. Some of you did miss it. And that's him. That's sad. Let's move to the next story, guys. That last one was a real catastrophe. Luckily, it was just a misdemeanor and not a feline. Okay, that was a stretch. That was terrible. So sorry about that one. I could not get that one out. An Ohio middle school substitute teacher, 41 years old, was arrested for masturbating under his desk. An Ohio substitute teacher was arrested after being caught masturbating in front of students. Tracy Abraham, 41, was substituting Tuesday at Creekside Middle School classroom when students observed suspicious behavior by the substitute that was taking place behind the teacher's desk. The student reported the behavior to school administrators, and Abraham was immediately removed from the classroom and building. Man, when the kids notice you jacking off, you are jacking off, man.
Right, because they know about that age, they know what it is, and they're like, hey, this don't look right.
Right, they don't just know what it is, but I mean, you was noticeable with it. Like, you wasn't even trying to hide it. Fairfield police have charged him with public indecency in a statement. District officials said Abraham will not be returning to the schools. What?
You don't say.
They say he'll be back, suspended with pay. They also said they are not aware of him having physical contact with any students yet.
Come on.
Well, the worst part is he was doing some Louis C.K. jokes while he was doing it.
I hope not.
He was like, kids today, the pronouns, they, them, oh. In addition, we are not aware of any students being exposed to any nudity. The incident will be reported to Ohio Department of Education.
At least the schools responded better than the clubs.
Right. There's like the 7 comedy clubs booked him at
he is sold out.
He has 7 sold out shows. He will be at the cellar tonight, y'all. Show up. The masturbating substitute teacher. What's the deal with these kids? He has already been released from...
That's like something's wrong with putting your dick in your hand, am I right?
Back in my day, I was just jacking off like I'm doing right now. He's already been released from jail, of course, on his own recognizance. They said Abraham will not be returning to school district, and they will be reporting the incident to the Ohio Department of Education. Karen, guess the race of Tracy Abraham.
Tracy Abraham is white.
All right, let's check the chat room and see what they believe. Creekside, that's a pink dick white. Father Abraham had many sons white. What in the Chester the molester white? Oh, black. Black, I'm sorry. The headmaster black. What? White, black. The correct answer is he was a white man. You got it right, Karen. Many of you went black on that one for some reason. Did his picture show up?
I don't see it yet.
Huh.
Like, your picture moved over, but okay. Nothing, wait a minute, now it's coming.
Okay.
It was just slow. Oh, no!
He like a fat Egon Spengler from the Ghostbusters original crew.
Oh, no.
You guys remember Egon? Anyone gets these references?
I do.
Okay. You're like a fat Egon.
No.
I know. He was crossing the streams, all right.
No.
Who are you gonna call? The police.
Come on. Not you.
Those poor kids. Wonder what class he was teaching.
Mm-hmm. Listen, boring as hell up in there.
I know. He's like, I'm just gonna throw in a film real quick from black.com. You guys have a seat.
Why is it dark in here?
Alright, let's turn everything off and just get these lights dimmed a little low. Anybody got any R. Kelly? I know you kids love that. That's on TV.
No.
All right, let's go to the bonus round real quick. All right, now for the bonus round. Karen is 2 for 2 already. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race, and a bonus round against the race. So far, Karen is 2 for 2. Let's see if she will be able to go 3 for 3. You nervous over there?
No, not this time. But we'll see.
Wanted, a felon caught on camera shooting at his father outside of Pompano Beach.
Oh, shit.
Oh, Florida. Authorities are looking for a felon who was caught on camera shooting at his own father outside of a Pompano Beach home over a dispute about money.
Okay.
Well, money makes the world go round.
Money makes them bullets fly, apparently, too.
Around 5:45 p.m., on January 4th, surveillance video captured the moment Quantes Rodney Baker drove by in an SUV and shot at a man and a woman standing outside of the home, according to Broward County Sheriff's Office.
Well, shit.
Yeah. Sounds like it was a drive-by.
Right.
So that's not good.
Mm-mm.
I think I have some audio of the shooting. Let me see if I can play it for you. Ricky! So Miss Quantes couldn't help himself. The man and the woman can be seen running away from the bullets. Neither were injured. Of course they weren't injured. Detectives say Baker was driving a gray Mercedes GL350 SUV. I mean, well then damn, what's the money argument over? Sell the car. They believe the shooting was over an argument about money. Baker's a convicted felon who is currently on probation for charges of grand theft of a firearm, carrying a concealed weapon and resisting arrest. He is
Currently wanted for attempted murder, aggravated assault with a firearm, and shooting a missile into a dwelling.
A missile?
Is that some Luke Cage shit? Or right? Are they calling bullets missiles now?
I mean, what the fuck? I mean, did it transform a missile?
Yeah, you're asking a, that is a lot.
Did the house blow up a missile?
Right. Plack-a-cack-a-cack-a-cack, indeed.
I mean, he shot his...
Boom, 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 boom! That's a grenade launcher.
Yes, grenade launcher.
Guess the race of Quantes Rodney Baker, Karen.
Oh, fish fry black.
Oh, going with black on this one?
Yes, I am.
Are you sure? You want to stick with that?
Yes, fried chicken eating black.
All right, let's check the chat room and see what they believe the race of Quantes is. Had a real family feud after they lost some family feud, black.
Oh.
Child support payment must have been late, Negro. Now I got the juice, black. Night monkey, black Rob. We have never heard that racism before. Blackity, blackity, black. When I shoot you in the neck, bombs over back, black dad. Bombs over black dad. Dad must have zigged and zagged, unlike Ricky Black.
Yeah, Ricky didn't zig nor zag.
Quantes in the Mercedes probably don't have $2 worth of gas, black.
Oh,
black. Hey, look, man, he know his car, okay? He can ride it on E. That don't mean nothing. The correct answer is, and everyone went the same way, and everyone got wrecked. He was black. You got to have your son money when he out here trying to cap your ass.
Come on.
I did want to say before we moved on to the next thing, to sort of ratchetness, I did want to make a brief Trump thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm sorry, you know, we don't talk about Trump unless it's doing white people news,
right?
But last night was so egregious, y'all.
Last night was fucking hilarious.
I can't not talk about it. It's hilarious, but it's sad,
right? It's one of them ha.
Oh yeah, this may be the lowest of all the things he's done that have really literally affected people, and he's a terrible racist piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing, the thing for me is everything he does that I find unbecoming of not just the office, but everything that we should value in this country and all the progress that has been made, because, you know, this country started on some bullshit, and anytime there's a push forward, there's always a pushback, right?
Mm-hmm.
He is the pushback.
Yes, he is.
And the thing for me that I can't shake is that all of these things are okay because white people are that racist.
All right.
And I don't pull punches. I don't mix words on this. I don't try to be polite and, you know, talk about how, you know, his voters are missed. No, it's not a mistake.
No, it's not.
It's not a coincidence.
Not an error.
No one was tricked. No one's voting against their self-interest. The biggest interest that most of the voters who support him have, and if they don't support him, they're cool with it, is that this man is the lowest of bars.
Yes, he is.
You know, it's not just that he's a bigot. It's not just that he's racist. It's not just that he's a homophobe or opportunist or anything. It's not just that he's a con man. It's none of that. It's not just any of that. They are willing to cede certain things for the optics of a nigger dirtied up their White House.
Come on!
And last night was no exception. So the government is in the longest furlough break stoppage of all time because of him, and he wants to get a wall funded, which is really more about his own catering to his base. His base wants to see, they love racism.
Yes, they do.
They love to racism, bro. They love racism. They love it. It's their favorite. Okay.
Yes, they jam.
If they go to Baskin Robbins, they be like, where's the racism flavor? Okay. I understand you got 31 flavors. I came for just the one. 3 scoops, please. And so that wall is very symbolic of his bigotry. They know that the wall won't work. It doesn't matter. It's just the fact that, hey, I hate these Mexicans, and this is a symbolic statement that I hate them. So anyway, because the government's been closed, a lot of government things that are normally taken care of are closed.
Right.
There's the TSA and certain airports and shit is closing down and mm-hmm. all this type of stuff. You got people working without pay. You got some people not working at all. The White House chefs apparently are part of the furlough. They are not there, mm-hmm. right? And Clemson football won the national championship a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So guess what happens when you win the national championship? You unpaid black athletes, you get to go to the White House and meet the president. Now, unlike professional sports,
right,
where you're talking to normally a bunch of rich men, many times black or brown, because it's a sport, and we have fast twitch muscles. So many times those men have the autonomy to say, I'm not going to see a person who's a bigot in the White House.
Right.
I'll go see Barack Obama, mm-hmm. but I won't go see this guy.
Right. Some of them are like, fuck it, our team, we'll go see Barack, and he ain't even president no more, just spite him.
As much as people hate George W. Bush and George H. Bush, and I get it, I'm not trying to make an argument to support them, mm-mm. but Donald Trump is worse in many ways, in that he is not even qualified for the office. He is not exceptional in any way. He is not smart in any way. He is overtly bigoted in a way that is has not been seen since, you know, Nixon. So we have this thing where even dealing with him is an affront to whatever you claim to represent. Right, it's hard. You got to take the hit. Van Jones had to take the hit. Whether that bill is helpful or not doesn't really matter to the optics of it. People are like, you walked into the lion's den and walked out and told us it was great, but we know the character of this man, and therefore we don't believe anything you touched is great.
Right.
The same thing with the fact this dude's a sexual assaulter in chief. Like he's all the scummy things, and so you have athletes in the past that would have met with a George H. Bush, Craig Hodges met and said, hey, I want to hand you this letter about, you know, some causes for black people. Man, nobody's going to fucking, there's no NBA player that's like, I want to go to the White House and then I'll slip something to Trump. Like, well, so for him to do what? Pee on? Fuck out of here. So, because the chefs are closed, are not there.
All right.
Because everything's furloughed, and because they won a championship, and these black kids don't have the autonomy to say, no, Coach Dabo, I know you love some Jesus, and that means you probably love Make America Great Again, and you think all lives matter and shit. I don't want to go to the White House.
Right, but they were fucking forced to go.
They're kids. How are they not gonna go? Y'all can do all that come to death row shit you want, but at the end of the day, Dabo's not fucking Suge Knight, and y'all aren't Snoop and them either. You know, y'all just kids, and y'all should get to be kids, and that's fine. But the optics of sports and patriotism in America means that you get to be a symbol for something you may or may not believe in. I'd love to see what these kids think about this years later from now. But they go to the White House, and Donald Trump, in his fucking lack of foresight, I don't know, they catered the event with fast food.
These kids are fucking dressed up now.
McDonald's, Domino's. Shout out to Papa John's for finally catching a break. Didn't they catch a break in 2019 with this? See, y'all only think of how bad the shit that actually happened was. I like to think of the shit that didn't happen and go, woo, that could have been worse.
I bet you put on this and be like, sir, no, we cannot order that.
Papa John said, 1,600 what now? And how many pieces? No, I don't think so.
No. Cancel that order. Who ordered that?
Right, cancel that. Cancel all of that. We don't need to be on TV again. We gonna have to call this into corporate. And you know they needed the business, and they still had to say no.
Right.
Domino's was like, okay, cool.
Wendy's.
Wendy's was there, yeah. But they ate Big Macs and shit.
Fish fillets. Cold ass fries and cold pizza. Shit, they could have got at the dorm.
Now I've typically stopped saying this next phrase because I do understand the futility of it, and that we've long exhausted saying this phrase, and it goes without being said. It's the undercurrent of everything this man does and stands for. But I, please guys, allow me sate my thirst real quick. If Obama had did this shit,
they'd have been like, that's so ghetto.
If Michelle Obama and Barack Obama would have had a goddamn anything in their White House, using the fine china to serve boxes of Big Macs.
Boxes.
To anybody. It could have been Popeyes. It could have been Arby's. It wouldn't have fucking mattered.
They wanted the kids to eat better, and they was like, bitch, my kids be fat.
They could have gave these boys to go plates from Ruth's Chris. And somebody would have said, these niggers in the White House with their fucking fast food serving this shit. And they would have called Michelle Obama fat and ugly the way they've been doing for all these fucking years. Like, guys, are you serious? And like I said, it's funny because he's so absurd. This is like a rejected pilot episode of That's My Bush or The President Show. Like, mm-hmm. This is the kind of idea they go, that's too ridiculous, guys. That wouldn't happen. Our sitcom needs to be based in some level of reality. And no fucking sitting president is going to serve McDonald's to a bunch of kids.
Yeah, and even Curb Your Enthusiasm wouldn't even take it this far.
Right. Like, nobody else would have took it this far.
Mm-mm.
And the worst part is I wouldn't eat any of it if I was a kid, because you know all that food got spit in it. You know they know Trump ordering that shit. 1600 Pennsylvania. Okay. It'll be right up when y'all come to pick this up. Fuck out of here.
They had to call people in, because you know orders that big, one shift can't do it. You probably had people coming in. You probably been frying for hours to get that shit done.
Yo mama. Yo black ass mama scrimps and saves so you can go up to motherfucking K&G Men's Fashions so you can get you a fucking suit and then buy you some motherfucking some Stacey Adams or something from the Steve Harvey collection.
Come on.
For your college broke ass.
Done spent hundreds of dollars.
Some booster done gave you $500 so you can look nice for a day on the low. For you to walk up in the White House, the most prestigious house in America, supposedly, and eat some cold ass Big Macs.
Cold.
Fries served in cups with the seal of the fucking Oval Office on them. McDonald's fries. He has McDonald's, the fucking White House. What?
That's all he eats. That's all he fucking eats.
I know that house stank today. They like, oh, what happened here last night? Are all the restaurants furloughed? Are all of them?
Oh. He spent his own money. He was proud, too.
We got a Grubhub ass president. This nigga calling Uber Eats.
Because the thing is, though, the chefs would actually have been there. This is your fault. This is your fault. And then you was like, well, I'll spend my own money. You went and bought 2 for $5 for everybody there. I do not understand this.
This is the most ghetto shit I've seen in my life. I'd use that picture of Rihanna. I said, if I was a Clemson player, I would be like, this is the most ghetto ass shit I've seen in my life. That picture of Rihanna doing that. And it went viral. People were sharing it.
Cause he is this goddamn ghetto.
There's a picture of Abraham Lincoln over his, it's almost like the picture of Abraham looking is looking down on Trump. And there's something hanging from the ceiling to look almost like a noose, like Abraham want to hang yourself, like, I didn't free them for you to feed them this. Come on.
You got fucking candelabras and shit lighting them up and shit. I got China with a fish fillet sandwich on it.
Make America great again, indeed. Motherfucker wear a bow tie and suspenders gotta serve this fucking food to these kids.
Right. They was like, well, Jimmy, it's your time tonight. I was there last time.
This is a direct response to the fact that white people cannot handle 8 years of black leadership from the White House. Correct. It's not even that it was so necessarily pro-black leadership. Mm-mm. It wasn't some militant black leadership. Mm-mm. It was just a black person who just happened to be good at what the job has been defined as so far.
Don't be good at it. That's the thing. They don't care about you being over shit, but don't be too good at it.
If he would have been the worst president of all time, they would have been just fucking fine. Like, oh, we gave you niggas a try, and look how terrible it turned out. But the fact that he was a great president in the ways that we have measured presidency so far, the only way to really knock him is to raise the bar on what the presidency is to a point where no president could ever match it. That's the only way people have been able to find a knock on the dude. So then they went the opposite and said, we'll lower the bar so far that the statement we want to make to you, America, is that we did not pick a qualified candidate. Because remember, Republican primary had many candidates.
Right.
Of which he was only one. There was at one point the fucking stage was like the goddamn Source Awards.
Come on.
They had so many candidates. They had to do two separate debates to start these things. It's like, oh, we'll do the debate with these six people, then we'll do the debate, come back and do another one with these six people. They had to do it that way. And they picked the one who was the most petulant. They picked the one who was the least informed. They picked the stupidest one. They picked the one with the lowest qualifications. They picked the most corrupt one. They picked the most bigoted one, which is saying a lot in the GOP. They picked the most misogynistic one. They said, no. He doesn't just have misogyny as he doesn't want women to have a right to choose, or, you know, he's anti-birth control. No. We need a dude that's just raping people. Y'all got any rapists? Yes, please. We will add that to the menu on my racism, white supremacy pizza, please. Can we add rape in there? We just want to make it sure people, oh, wait till they reveal these women that are accused them. What? Well, that's why we're voting.
That's why we voted them in now.
Yeah, I said this on my Facebook page, and some dude was like, well, because I said, everybody's like, well, this person shouldn't run in the Democratic primary because they have this issue. And then I put a picture, I said me, and then I put a picture of Trump with all them fucking burgers, like, yeah, I'm just anti this, and I'm going to probably vote for whoever wins the primary of the Democratic Party.
Right.
But my friend was like, hey, so you saying people shouldn't look at these little things that did? I said, I didn't say any of that. What I'm saying is, this picture is a motherfucker with McDonald's in the goddamn White House.
Right.
And that is not a bug. That is the feature, motherfucker. That is what they wanted. They wanted someone to disgrace it. In many ways, Trump pissing on the bed of the Obamas in Russia, in the hotel they stayed, mm-hmm. is exactly what white people have done to the White House. They have pissed on the Obamas for fucking existing in there. That's what they have done. This is the last stand and the last bastion of white supremacy happening right before our eyes in our time. So I might not give a fuck if Cory Booker is dating Rosario Dawson or not.
Come on!
I do care who the fuck wins the Democratic primary. That's it. I might not give a fuck about whether or not Elizabeth Warren fumbled the Native American shit. I get that you get to be upset. Do what you need to do. We'll see what happens at the end of the primary. I don't give a fuck.
I don't know.
Because I literally can't afford to anymore. This motherfucker is feeding McDonald's to kids in the goddamn White House.
Right. It's fucking insulting.
It's just ridiculous.
Right.
It's just ridiculous. Can we not admit this is a level of ridiculousness that is only able to happen because of racism and bigotry? It is only able to happen because enough people have their agendas aligned with this man that they would be okay and not embarrassed. I saw people defending this going, well, those kids like McDonald's. That's not what happened. We all know that's not the truth. They didn't go, you know what, President Trump, we would like to request a lot of McDonald's. That's not what happened. There's always some fucking excuse for this guy.
Yep.
There's always some, let's spin it. This is the result of decades of right-wing media taking things that weren't fact and just spinning them and spinning them and spinning. And now we have this shit. And what they do is they just spin it. His ineptitude is spun into genius. It is insulting. You know, I feel almost like, season 3 of The Shield. When Forrest Whitaker was on there, he's like, he pissing in your mouth. Like, I feel like that, you know. And of course the thing I attack it with is humor, because it's all I got left. It's what's in my gun. It's some joke bullets, you know. And I made jokes about it on social media, but I had to like mute and block people all day because his fucking followers are in my mentions all day. I just didn't respond to it because I didn't want people to see me going back and forth with these people, because then these other people that are, you know, that follow me will then hop in, and now all day long I got motherfuckers back and forth in my mentions about some shit I don't really care about because it's a joke. But a lot of people, not just one or two, were like, you're the real racist for saying that, you know, Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, and you're calling him a slave. You're saying the Clemson players are slaves for he eating McDonald's. I said, man, I don't want to care. You have a fucking Make America Great Again avatar and a bunch of racist build the wall tweets. You think I give a fuck if you think I'm a racist? You voted for one. You should be dapping me up if you love to racism, bro. my God. Anyway, a disgrace.
Yes, it is. And all that, and not just fun of him doing this, proves that why the professional athletes was like, I'm not going the fuck up there.
Even if the professional athletes would have went up there and got fucking steaks, they know what this man is about.
Right. And also the thing is, what's so fucked up is that the children didn't have a choice.
Right.
And that's what's fucked up. You know, to an extent, I blame the coach for this bullshit. You should have been like, we're not going.
Right. My God. All right. What was the last? Soy ratchetness. Sorry, I had to talk about this dude. Sorry. A teenage boy was arrested after a man was left with a serious head injury in a suspected samurai sword attack, and he has been released on police bail. They don't give a fuck about sword crime. The 17-year-old was held on suspicion of attempted murder after a 23-year-old man was found in a life-threatening condition at a property in East Lee, Hampshire on Friday night. Attempted murder, and he's already on bail. He has been bailed until January 19. Police have been searching for a weapon in the streets near Hinesburg Close, where the victim was found. Detectives said a samurai sword may have been used in the attack, and urged residents to check in their bins and gardens. They not gonna do it anyway. A 17-year-old girl was arrested on suspicion of assisting an offender, and she was previously released with inquiries continue. So there you guys go. All right, man, we'll be back to finish out the week. Thank you for listening, guys. We appreciate all of you that take the time out to listen. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.